listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
All right. Well, we get into the Evoque, the Range Rover Evoque. We get into some updates on the 510 different drummer car, some auction stuff, some car pricing stuff.
An update on the shop.
Cool Celica, cool 70 Celica talk. First, you got what, Matt?
I got our friends at Dodge. Right now is the best time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle because Dodge Power Dollars means you get a guaranteed discount. And the math is simple. You get $10 off based on the total horsepower of your new Dodge vehicle. And you can get this on any 2020 Challenger, any 2020 Durango, even the Dodge Charger. With $10 off of each horsepower, that means you can roll into the dealer. You can check out Dodge Charger SRT Scat Pack with 485 horsepower, and you'll get $4,850 off. And Dodge Power Dollars is also available on the Dodge Durango as well. So no matter where the summer takes you, the Dodge Durango is here to make every trip this season a breeze. So if you get more power, you get more off. It's that simple. So hurry into your local Dodge dealer now to take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars.
It's a little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide, Armandito Cristian Perez. I had to use the real name. Why? Because now it's the podcast. From negative to positive, which you can catch on Apple Podcast, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Flow to the rider.
Woo! I don't even know if you know how much they play you around the world or anywhere, my brother.
No matter how much bread we make, dog, we can't take it with us. No matter how many houses, cars, whatever we acquire, can't take it with us. With that said, anything we make is always a give back, dog.
Why are we starting a podcast? Well, it's real simple. With the times that we're living in right now in the world, I think you need to be motivated, inspired, educated, aware, positive. So what I'm here is just to motivate the world and let them know when we talk, we call a spade, so you're going to hear the truth. So I look forward to the podcast. I look forward to showing y'all, teaching y'all how to take it from a negative to a positive. So get ready. From negative to positive, which you can catch on Apple Podcast, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the church. We're going to get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. It's CarCast, man. Of course, it's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, over there.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, man. Running around, building, cars,
speaking
building.
Of that, I posted up on social media just a little teaser of the stairs that are being assembled, from a week ago over at the new shop, and it looks good. It looks exciting. People seem I just posted that. I just said, hey, we're building. There's going to be the stairs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
And it's going to be good, but I understand there's it was a cool company, this company ViewRail. We work with them, designed a system, they kind of put it together and they were able to do it to spec, to code and handle things we didn't want to fuss with.
Mm-hmm.
But then they send it over to a bunch of boxes and it's you guys got to kind of put it together. So, how's that going over there?
Sean is really good at calculations and probabilities and kind of what this means to that. And I'm really good at that too. He's got obviously a little more of the fabrication. I got a little more of the woodworking in my history. So, between the two of us, we're a pretty formidable team because the one thing you learn when you do carpentry for a long time is how this affects that.
Yeah.
And any real kind of building or putting anything together, it could be an engine, it could be a front swing and a front door. It's just this affects that, and the more that can only be learned from experience. Like, well, if you move this out a quarter inch up here, it's going to be 3 inches by the time we get 12 feet away. Like it's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And how you can get things to kind of do what you want it to do are also like what the implications are, where you go like, well, take this stair and we'll massage them. We'll move them all a quarter inch. And then it's like, yeah, but then the glass railing's not going to line up with the mortise on the side of the stair. But when you don't know what you're doing or when you're new to it, you do all those things and everything seems to work, and then it comes time to put the glass railing on and nothing lines up.
Right.
If you know what you're doing, you talk about the possibility of doing a bunch of stuff, but then you stop and go, yeah, but if we did that, then the glass rail's not going to line up. So you catch it before you sort of cast it in stone, you know? And that's all building is, and all any kind of building is. It's like sort of standing there and looking down the road, you know, just going, how's this going to affect this? Also, there's a lot of, like, in the building world and in the fabrication world, there's a lot of, like, and we're talking about, I was talking to Sean earlier this morning about cutting these decorative panels to put them on the outside of the wall, the inside of the stairwell, you know. And you were with me last week, and we went and looked at some of these cool decorative panels, and they're like architectural panels, and you guys have seen them in cool hotels or whatever on the wall.
Yeah.
Sometimes above the fireplace.
Just create some texture on a wall instead of just flat. You know?
Yeah, so the wall is like 10 foot and change, and the sheets come in 8-foot sheets, and you know, it's 104 from the floor to the bottom where the wall's going, and Sean and I are, you know, standing there going, well, full sheet and then a 30-inch piece. But then we're kind of going, either way, when you put that 30-inch piece up, we're going to have to create some sort of custom stainless L bracket or something to go up top to hide the subfloor edge and to come down over the edge of the tile and blah, blah, blah. You know, and like Sean and I are like looking at it going, this wall's pretty true. It's pretty straight. It's pretty square. But the mistake that a lot of people do is they cut stuff dead nuts on, and then they go to put it up. And if shit's not a little square, then they have to fight it.
Yeah.
Like it's not going in. And they scuff stuff up, and they kind of take the factory edge and they scuff it up and stuff, like trying to work it in and all that kind of stuff. And Sean and I are just looking at each other, and I'm going, look, we're putting a piece of decorative trim on the top that's going to hang down as far as we want it to hang down.
Yeah.
So that 30-inch piece, 29 3/4. I don't want to fight it. Who cares if there's a little gap at the top, or who cares if we put a little gap at the bottom and do it? What you don't want is dead nuts on, and now you're fucking fighting that top piece, and then you do that thing where it's like, we got to take 3/16 off it, but you don't have a table saw where you're at, so you have to freehand it with the skill saw, and it's a shitty cut, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like a lot of, Sean knows it, and I know it beforehand.
Yeah.
30 inches means 29 1/4. Let's not fight with this thing.
Yeah, yeah. So my question for you is, we'll get more into the car stuff, but in the car world, you know, we started coming out with aftermarket body panels, especially all the hot rod guys, Mustangs, Camaros, they're repopping bodies. And a lot of guys said, it's better to just work with the original stuff because nothing seems to fit right. You know, the aftermarket door or fender for a 65 Mustang doesn't fit like an original.
When I got my fender for my 84 Nissan standard bed pickup, when I got my aftermarket fender and tried to strap that thing on, I mean, I'm not an experienced body man, but I fought that thing 10 ways to Sunday. Like it would just never, nothing would line up. And then when the Armenian guy came to buy it, and he was trying to talk me down.
Yeah.
He just pointed right at the fender. He's like, who put this on? And I said, I was trying to like defend the guy.
Yeah.
I was like, professional, seasoned body man.
Yeah. You know?
And he's like,
that guy should be killed.
No, he goes, whoever put this on should have their hands cut off. And I was like, well, that's harsh.
That's a little rough.
A little harsh. And he's like, well, he should. And I'm like, well, you never know. He may be closer than you think. Yeah, I don't want to hear him. Yeah,
he may be on his second set of hands already.
Right.
Terrible accident. So
I did not know, by the way. Like, I just drove out, you know, I opened the recycler. I found some place in the City of Industry that had repops of fenders. And I was like, 84 Nissan standard bed. Okay. And I just went and got the fender. Like, okay. I just went to go put it on. And I just thought, I didn't know what I was doing, but I couldn't get shit to line up.
So that being said, in building this new car museum, this car shop, what are your thoughts on where we've come today with prefab stuff? We're getting railings prefabbed in a factory in the Midwest. We're getting stairs sent to us in the mail, and you kind of put it together. I mean, the idea of prefab probably didn't exist that much, you know, when you were swinging a hammer for money.
No, we barely had pre-hung, pre-swung doors. We just buy slabs or blanks and mm-hmm. door jam material and literally just make our own door jam, mortise it out, you know, take the door, put a bevel on both sides, like mortise it again for the hinge. Like, obviously, it's a kajillion times faster just to buy your custom hung.
Yeah. So
you literally just slide it into the rough opening, put some shims
right,
around
it. Right, now you go to Home Depot, you buy the whole thing.
You buy the jam, you buy the door, everything's mortised, everything mm-hmm. swings. All you do is set it in place, put some shims around it, throw a level on it, get your shadow line right all the way around it, and pop some gun nails in it.
Now, in that instance, I imagine the companies manufacturing all that stuff build in now some accountability for, like you were saying, on the wall, or like, oh, well, if it's off a little bit here, off a little bit there, there's ways to adjust it or not. You can't. Like, there's no hiding a few mistakes
with
trim pieces.
In that world, it's pretty straightforward. It's like interior walls and exterior. I mean, you got to order the right thing, but like, look at it this way. 3.5 inch wide. Your door, your rough opening has a header, trimmers, and king studs inside of the trimmers. The trimmers hold up the header. The king studs run all the way up.
Okay.
If you can picture that. The king stud goes from the floor to the ceiling.
Okay.
Then you put the header in, and the trimmer goes under the header.
Okay.
Picture the architecture of that. Then you get your rough opening, but the width of the shit is pretty much 3.5 inches stud plus either half inch drywall each side, 4.5 or 5/8, 5/8, 4 3/4.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you'll get the jam in like 4 3/4 and you just put it in and you close the door mm-hmm. and you like latch the door, put the hardware in or whatever. Just close the door and put a shim in it. Then you just work your margin all the way around. So there's the same gap from the door to the jam, like all the way around, mm-hmm. whatever that is, and then just pop a couple gun nails. But they don't really give you much to work with. If the jam on one side, if the rough opening on one side is cattywampus one direction and the one on the other side is going the other direction, you got to kind of split the difference. Make a choice. Figure it out. Hope you're going with paint grade molding instead of stain grade because that's going to be a disaster. But if somebody rough framed that thing really shitty and it's off, you got to figure out a way to split the difference or make it up or whatever. But there's no, they don't really give you a lot of leeway to fix that.
Yeah. But when we started getting to a bigger piece, a custom piece like this staircase, this seems like there were so many things involved and engineering involved and code and specs and everything else that probably, I don't know, like you can get a company to come in and fab this up on site, or you can get a company like we opted to try that does it in a factory in the Midwest and they send it to you and, mm-hmm. you know, you got to make it work.
Yeah.
You know, as best as you can.
Well, we can do that. I mean, when Sean and I sort of get together and just sort of talk out loud, mm-hmm. we'll arrive at the right place.
Right. And the way these guys built everything, like you said, the railing and glass and everything needs to line up. There's no changing the stairs. You've got to change the building to fit the stairs, right?
Yeah. But as I'm always quick to say when people go, how are you going to do this or how are you going to do that? I go, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want. Now, I don't want to do anything. And then some stuff is more difficult than others, but I can do whatever I want. And then they go, huh? And I go, I put a Lamborghini Miura inside of my office.
Yeah.
I figured that out.
Yeah.
So I'll do whatever I want. I'll do what I want.
Yeah.
That's what I say. All right. Let me hit JB Weld. Quick 15 seconds for a proud sponsor, CarCast. JB Weld. Epoxy adhesive brand used by both pros and DIYers, trusted for over 50 years, and you can get it at jbweld.com. All right, automotive. What's going on in the automotive space?
Well, We sold the BMW.
Yep.
Yeah, sold it on a Bringer trailer. It was fun. Sold for $40,000. It's a good number. I think it's a fair number for that car. You and I were making some guesses and pretty much right on. I think you said 41, which I think does it because it's $40,000 and then Bringer trailer's fees have that seller at 42. So.
Yes. Somebody tweeted me about my crystal brain because I ordered that car in a 6-speed, although I don't get credit for that. That's just what they had. But we're glad it's a 6-speed.
Yeah.
But the moonroof delete, man, that was the best move I ever made. And the cloth inserts, which was weird because I grew up with shitty cloth and vinyl seats. And to me, the best you could ever get was a leather interior.
When I
grew up, that was a big thing. Like, this car is a leather interior. Like, it was a big, I'm looking at Kalen. You guys haven't been around long enough. There's like 4-wheel disc brake, air conditioning, automatic overdrive, leather interior, like, bucket seats.
Real by the way, Corinthian leather.
The bucket seat meant not a bench seat in the front. All the stuff that's in your fucking Prius, except for your rear discs. Everything that's in your Prius right now, like, who cares?
Yeah.
That was all like a big deal.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
AM, FM radio.
That's right.
That's right.
We get both.
Yeah. Even an integrated antenna, like one that wasn't hanging off your fender, but it was like in the windshield or something.
Yeah.
That was a big deal. Everything was a big deal.
That's luxury car stuff right there.
Yeah. So, but I did have the presence of mind. I don't mind a sunroof. I don't like it in a sunroof flies in the face of a sporting car because there's two things you don't want in a sports car. You don't want weight, but if you have to have weight, like if you tell Danica Patrick she's got to add 50 pounds to her NASCAR, she doesn't put it on the roof.
Yeah.
She puts it like as fucking low to the ground as she can and opposite of the driver's seat, right in the CG of the car, right?
Yeah.
Like find the center of gravity, drop it down, put it, whatever. So I always felt like the sunroof up high at the top, essentially, is just not where you want that weight. And I didn't like the way it looked. I never liked the way moonroofs.
Yeah.
I never liked the way moonroofs look. Sunroofs, I didn't mind. The panel was just sort of monochromatic, but the moonroof was just a smoked glass up there.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. And I was kind of surprised that BMW came out with this sporting car and put that big glass panel at the top of it.
On the sports cars, I don't like the ones where it has to pop out of the car and open, and it's like a giant wing on the roof of the hood. I never really like that either.
So I went down to the BMW place in Glendale, and I was just kind of, it's that kind of thing where the guy selling me the car is like, everyone loves those moonroofs. I was like, I don't want the moonroof. And he's like, I'd recommend the moonroof, because he didn't want to fucking hassle with it or deal with the paperwork or whatever. But for some reason, I was like, no moonroof. And then for some reason, I was like, cloth inserts in those seats.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I said that one too. Maybe I was thinking, I'm so tired of the back of my legs burning on the hot leather, whatever it is. It's more comfortable. Either way, that's what we got. So a good price, a good car.
Yeah, it's going to Arizona.
And going to Arizona. It's
where I already have it registered.
let's see. There's been some auctions, some cars. Decent prices for decent cars. I gotta say, through this whole pandemic and economy and topsy-turvy political world, the car prices have remained relatively, not even relatively, just stable, right? Like all the cars that we're doing are doing.
Yeah. So we chat with Alistair Weaver quite often. And we have this conversation, and used car values are holding. They're actually pretty high right now. And, I don't know if it's just because people are kind of not wanting to go into dealers or something and get new cars, or, certainly with a lot of manufacturers putting factories on hold, we couldn't go into the dealer. And then when we can go into the dealer, a lot of the cars weren't even available.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when things aren't available, dealers get less willing to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, so people started leaning on used cars and keeping used cars longer, and used cars last longer. And you know, so especially in a town like LA, there's so many people that lease cars. And then, you know, you go and you buy a, you know, the lease return, you know, you get a pretty nice car that's been maintained for 3 years by the dealer. You know, and so many cars, even with factory maintenance, you just, you know the oil changes were done. You know everything's been done on the car. So now used cars are pretty good. So used car values have been high recently.
Yeah. And I was talking about the exotic car market, especially, which is a lot of those cars are, they're holding. I've not seen any real fluctuation. We saw, incredibly, a Mura SV went for like 4.25 or something, which is kind of an aberration, but sort of insane. But who knows? That always exists. But that's, everything's been going for about the right price. And, and maybe there's even an element of, in this topsy-turvy world, people want to put their money into something like that. As far as what we're doing, we got a race coming up at Laguna Seca in the Different Drummer 510. We have to kind of figure out coming up in December, I do believe, right?
Yes. And did you finish? I haven't popped over there because the guy's been over at the new shop working on the stairs. You're doing the transmission swap. You're taking the proper transmission out of the 610. Putting it in this car.
Yeah, we found the Comp 2 or the whatever the fuck. I screw that name up every time. But we found, I did the math and I was correct. The shift pattern was the same. I hate that Comp 3 box. Everyone hates that Comp 3 box. So even if psychologically you feel like you're running a box that no one else is running because no one wants to run it because they're like, oh, I'm slower with that. Now you're running with that. Like I need more to think about in that car.
Right.
But the reality is I really only got one full run in that car, really, essentially, with this Comp 3 box. So, you know, I think we come back in December with the Comp 2 box and the car sorted a little better and me sorted a little better and go out and maybe lay down some decent times in that car.
So you're going to smoke everybody?
Smoke everybody.
Smoke everybody. Let me hit this real quick. Our friends at Dodge, it's time for Dodge Power Dollars. That means for each horsepower, you get $10 off your purchase on a Dodge Charger, Challenger, and Durango. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars today for a pretty sweet deal. And one last thing I'll just hit on that BMW M3 is just a big thanks to everybody that joined in on that auction and participated and commented and bid. It was fun. We got a lot of views on that auction that I thought was fantastic. Something like 16,000 views on that auction. So thanks again for that as well. But so the Nissan should be the 510 should be good with the new box. Have you done the swap yet? Have you pulled it out of the 610?
No, I got the 610 up on blocks or stands. The 510's gonna go. I mean, that's a 1 day job, except for when we find out the fucking clutch is shot.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, don't do it at the last minute.
Throw out bearings, fuck, and the parts. We can't have the flywheel turned unless we find the tilt and clutch that goes with it. And blah 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 blah.
There's gonna be like one guy.
Well,
can do it.
I will say this: the difference between taking out the old tried and true 510, and not for me, but I just mean like. So many guys race 510s. So many guys kind of do it on a budget. It's every man's kind of racer car. You know, it's a good budget. It's basically what a Miata is now. You know what I mean? Like, it's the guys who want to go racing, but they're like school teachers and they work for, you know, engineers and shit. They got a job, but they don't have a lot of money. And so the 510 is fun to drive, very competitive. Lots of good competitive guys out there. But the flywheels and the clutches and the throwout bearings are a little more pedestrian stuff you can go get. When you start getting into the 300ZX turbo stuff and you start getting into this more exotic shit, then everything gets more harder to find, more exotic, bigger pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So the 510 stuff is still pretty straightforward if you need a flywheel or you need a Tilton clutch or whatever. And plus, I got my hard charger award from Tilton from back in 2013 or something at Fontana. So that's $100 right there.
Sweet. If you know where that thing is, I don't know where that is.
I think it's with my cool shirt that I got for my cool pass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Yeah, it was cool move. I don't remember what
cool
it was.
Cool pass, cool shirt, whatever. That never showed up in the mail either. The Tilton gift certificate I did get. That just, you know, that's under Rob's desk somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because we never put shit away or do anything with stuff.
Right.
The greatest one of that is, like, I was repainting one of the roll bars, or someone was repainting one of my roll bars, and they have all those participation tech stickers on there.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to very carefully peel these off, put them on a piece of wax paper or cardboard or something, then paint it, then put it back on. Then we painted it. I'm like, all right, now we got to put, where are the stickers? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Well, what do you mean? Like, where are they? Like, we pulled it off on a piece of cardboard. Did you set it on a shelf or did you put it on the bench? Like, I don't know. It's gone.
It's gone.
I was like, well, first off, how's it gone? No one ever cleans. If a crew came in here and just cleaned this place every Monday, that's one thing. But you guys don't clean and it's just sitting on something.
Right.
Why not put it? You know, my thing with everyone's, you get paid by the hour. Why not just put it somewhere?
Yeah.
Get a piece of wax paper, put it there, slide the little drawer open that says, you know, 610 on it, slide it inside that drawer. No.
Yeah. And if you did do that, where did it go?
Well, the thing that I always find interesting about many, many employees is I get it that you're not fill in the blank. You're not organized or you're not tidy. Or you don't rinse your coffee mugs or whatever it is. That's what you do. That's what you do. And I would never go into your apartment and demand that you rinse your mugs or something. But I am paying you, and this is how I choose to live. So while I'm paying you, then you just do it how I would like you to do it while you're here.
Yeah.
I thought that would be a much easier sell. It is nearly impossible sell. Nearly, because that's just everyone just has that wiring. But you know where the first wiring goes south? You know where it goes south? Max Pat, are you listening?
Always.
Let me tell you where it goes south. We have one of those Krupp, Corning, whatever little mini one shot coffee makers at our house, right? You listening? Listen, Max Pat. We have one of those. And you turn the power on. It's like a little green light on the top. You turn the power on, and then you put your cartridge in, and you make your coffee, and your whatever. And I started walking. I don't use it. I just use the coffee pot. But Lynette makes the single shot stuff.
Okay.
And I started noticing that I was coming into the kitchen several hours after she made the thing, and the light's just on. Like, the thing's just on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, you listen, Max Banner, because here's where the trouble starts. Uh-oh. I go, hey, you know, when you're done with the thing, I think you got to shut it off because I think it just stays on if you don't shut it off.
Yeah.
Max Batty, you listening, ready for the this?
What could go wrong?
She doesn't go, gotcha, boss. And she doesn't go, oh, okay. Not many people do that. You know what she does? It shuts off by itself. Except for it's not based on anything, right? All we're doing is now going down this other direction where it shuts off by itself. And I'm like, well, it doesn't shut off by itself because I'll come in 2 hours after you made a cup of coffee and it's still on. She'll go, I think it shuts by itself.
Yeah,
and
how long does it take?
No, I'll go, I don't think so because it's still on when I come in. Now, what did we just do there in that one instance? We separated what it does from my actions. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because if you go, oh, okay, good to know, not going to happen again. Now we're right there. The action is right there against the problem. But when you go, I think it shuts itself. Now you've created a space between solving the problem and your actions.
You're sweeping it under the rug. It's like, okay, not my problem. I'm out.
Right. And that's what ends up happening. And thus, this morning it was still on and the next day it was still on because there's a separate, you have distanced yourself from the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And the reality is it, first off, I thought it went off by itself. I don't know what that's based on. It's probably based on me shutting it off later on in the day.
Yeah. Our headlights do it, so
right.
Coffee maker must.
And maybe it should. But what I'm saying is if I say it doesn't, there's a good chance it doesn't. probably 99.9.
Well, you're basing your information on something, and that's the machine not going off.
Nobody factors in what I'm basing my information on. That's what I find to be interesting. But either way, the straight line to solving the problem is, I didn't know that, but I do now. Yeah. Done and done. But that is not the way it goes with... It goes that way with Sonny, by the way. And mm-hmm. and it goes that way with you.
Mm-hmm.
Not many other people have that gene. Now, there's an extreme version.
Okay.
You know, there's my buddy Ray when I go, since when do you say dude all the time? And he goes, you say it all the time. Okay. That's an insane version of what we're talking about. That's insane because I don't say dude ever. And I don't say it in front of Ray. So, and no one ever hears me say dude all the time. It's never happened. So that's an extreme bizarre.
Yeah.
Most people just do a little like, that's the way I do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everyone does that. But the best you can be is just go, noted. Not going to happen again.
But I think you got to turn the machine off. And then there's a, oh, I thought it turned off by itself. I'll just go ahead and do it next time.
Yeah. It's never going to happen. What I've learned. Then there is, it must be even the righteous, even someone like Olga, she'll just argue all the time. She'll just go, I said this, I told you that, I said this, I told you that. Like, she'll do it too. Everyone, it's a chick thing for sure. It's a dude who are wired like chicks thing. And then it's a dumb dude thing. And it's also a D-minus student move. Like all the D-minus students just argue about the same thing over and over again. And the reality is it doesn't really matter whether you did it or not, or whether it shuts itself. The answer still got it.
Yeah.
Then you move on.
Yeah.
Then you get to be better at things. It's the best piece of advice I can give to anybody for any. It's the best thing your kid could learn.
Yes, I would agree.
Mm-hmm. All right, but also, it has to feel like nothing.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is. When you say to certain people, hey, you don't do it this way, do it that way, it feels like they're being cornered and attacked. To me, when Olga says, don't take the cream jar and just put it in the sink, pour some hot coffee in it, shake it up, get the cream off the top to drop down, and then dump it in your cup, I go, smart.
Good idea.
That's my move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When she's mad at you, does she yell at you in Spanish?
I tell her no speaking in Spanish at the house. She talks to her sister on the phone, like in Spanish, and I just go by, in English, English. But Natalia's learning to speak Spanish, so now it's problematic, as they say.
Oh, Natalia's going to yell at you in Spanish.
All right. So let's see. 510's getting put together.
Yeah.
Gonna get the lugs sorted out. Got to get the weird... the weird lugs with the shoulders on them that drop down into the rims with the fatter sleeve on it. God knows we're going to find these fucking lugs, but I told Sean we're going to start sorting that mess out, mess out. But that 510 is so killer. I don't know what your wiring is, but I think I know it. I just love looking at the paint scheme on that 510.
Yeah,
I just love, I mean, it's like one of the coolest five. Everyone, that 510 is like my dog, Phil. Like everyone just walks up to it and goes, oh yeah,
yeah,
that's a good one.
Phil needs a wing
on the back.
Yeah, just on the back.
You know, I don't know if you know this, but he's America's number one dog.
Yeah, Sonny told me that.
Yeah, he's the number one dog in America. Do you guys know that?
I just found out myself, yes.
Yeah, I told Sonny that he has a number one dog in America. That dog's name is Phil, and he's number one.
Yeah, no, I...
Until otherwise dethroned.
Yeah, I saw...
All right.
I also saw your number one dog crap on the beach.
Oh, yeah, that was a big one.
That was a huge one. And we're standing there with no bag going, what do we do? Gotta ask the the people who own beach houses. Anybody got a shitter bag? We got to pick up after
some
Phil.
Kid must have had a shovel.
Yeah,
right?
There's plenty of nice people out there.
Phil took a nice dip in the pool last night about 10 o'clock, and just went right into Sonny's room, sleeps on his bed, and just flops over. He can hold like 3 gallons of water like that in his fur, and he just sits there and big puddle. Big sweat mark right on the top of the mattress.
I bet Sonny's got like that layer of like rubber sheets under the bed when you like wet the bed, and his friends were like, "Hey man, are you still wetting the bed? You're 14 now." And he's like, "No, it's the dog."
It's
and
the number
like,
one
sure,
dog in
sure,
America.
Sure, buddy. Sure, it is.
All right, so let's see. You got a Celica.
Yeah, I got.
What is that thing?
It's Edelbrock built this car for SEMA, or they work with the guys on putting it together, and it's a handful. It's a 73 Toyota Celica. It's basically a race car.
They got the colors down, man.
Yeah, it's got this great patina on it. And you can't really.
What year was it built?
This one. Well, I think it was at SEMA last year. Year, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was at 19.
Yeah, it's in 2019. It's a 73 Celica.
They put a, I believe, LS3 in it. It's got about 500 horsepower, crazy exhaust that they built for it. You know, it sounds good. It's fast. They've got like, you know, like R-spec tires on it. But when you really zoom in on it, it's even got like down along the rocker panel because of the patina they did. It has like all the sponsor stickers, like the contingency stickers, but as if you pulled them off and it was just like the glue was on there. So they kind of like printed the stickers, but in clear, you know, that kind of thing. So it looks great. It's fun. It's fun to drive, but it's a pain in the ass to drive. So first of all, it great power. It looks good. The clutch is insane. And when they dropped it off, they said, "Hey, do you want to drive this thing? You know, you're not that far from us." There's about 2 inches of movement on the clutch, and when it kicks in, it's 100%.
Engages.
It just it's full on. So when you're at a stoplight and you're just trying to get this thing to launch smoothly, it's really tough to do, and it takes a lot of pedal effort. So definitely a thing that needs to be fixed for those guys. But then it's got the crazy giant lever for the e-brake, like if you wanted to go drifting. And to set the e-brake...
Oh, right.
To set the e-brake, you pull that thing hard, and there's just like a clamp, like a little clip that hooks on, and it's tight. So you think, man, this e-brake is really tight. The car's not going anywhere. So I thought because that brake was so tight, you can see the giant shifter, that, hey, maybe I don't have to put it in gear when I park it, and I park on a little bit of an angle. So I set that e-brake, and then a couple hours later, I hear my neighbors going, "Hey, Matt, there's a Toyota in the middle of the street." It just kind of rolled back. Didn't hit anything, didn't touch anything, just kind of rolled back. But it's bright yellow with all this patina, so it's just sitting in the middle of the road. Cars are driving around it going, "Hey, cool car. They just assume it's stalled because it looks like an old car.
What kind of rims are on that car, do you know?
I don't know. I didn't even get up on them yet, but I'm sure there's a build sheet, there's a spec sheet, because when they debuted at SEMA. Now, that being said, this thing would be a game changer with the better clutch, right? I get it doesn't have air and all that stuff, and it's hot as hell out here in LA, but with the clutch, you'd have fun driving the thing. But yeah, it's like driving one of your race cars. Like, they put cool seats and stuff in it, but it's just sheet metal.
Yeah. No, you know? Believe you me. Like, at a certain point, you know, you're not a teenager anymore. At a certain point, you get used to those creature comforts, and it's got it's got one of those rims that are, what's the Japanese stuff? And what's the Japanese tuner called? The JBLs or something?
JDM.
JDM. It's got it's got those standard kind of seven spoke JDM. You guys will know what I'm talking about. It's just a very basic five lug, seven spoke rim, which stands about right for a car like that. All right, why don't you hit Geico there?
Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. And you guys heard us say this before. It's 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? Check out geico.com. If you switch by October 7th, you save an extra 15%. So just go to geico.com.
All right. So what else is going on in the automotive world?
I'm going to be heading out. It's going to be a little while, but like probably mid-November, I'm going to go out and drive at a Ford event, the new F-150. And the new F-150, we're very impressed with. The specs and everything on that are very impressive and looks good. And everything from the fold-down seats and playing around with the hybrid and the 220, you know, plug in the back. So there's a this event, it's like a half-day drive event, and we'll be able to do what they do is they Ford does a great job, and most of the car companies, they all do a good job. They set it up. They're like, all right, you're going to – here's one hooked up to a trailer. Go tow the trailer around, and then here's one – here's a little off-road course. You know, hit it off-road and around town. So head out in November and get a little taste of that. And then hopefully soon as well, new Land Rover Defender. They have a two-door and a four-door. And they brought back the Defender 90, the two-door, and the 110, the four-door. And it looks good. It's sort of the right balance between, you know, the Beverly Hills SUV and the off-road capability. And earlier this week, talking with Alistair on the show, he said he's so impressed with its off-road capability. And then it drives smoother than, of course, anything like Land Cruiser or Wrangler, Rubicon, any of that stuff. So that's going to be impressive to drive. I wasn't able to do the event, but they're going to send one to us at some point.
Was I telling you I saw the convertible Evoque?
Yeah, the convertible Evoque. Not one of their proudest moments.
I saw one yesterday driving home. I called Matt. I'm like, ugh. This fucking car is – that a convertible Evoque must sticker for $73,000.
Probably, yeah.
It looks like Pontiac makes that fucking car. It looks like Pontiac makes it.
It has a weird like coach built kind of look to it. I don't know.
It's convertible kind of Evoque. What is that thing sticker for? Because I got to tell you, it looks like a Pontiac makes it and starts with the word sun. You know, sun chaser, sundowner, one of those stupid Pontiac
the name,
sun
or
cars.
Or like the name for a boat. Like
sun. Now, Pontiac chaser, made a lot of like sun stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And it looks like the first digit in the price of it is a one. Like, it looks like a $19,000 Pontiac.
Yeah.
I'm sure the interior
is
nice and blah, blah, blah.
But the Evoque is nice when you get a hardtop on it.
Sorry, $52,000.
For the convertible? Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
I thought... Am I wrong?
I thought
Evoques were more than 52 anyway. 52 for the convertible? Uh-uh.
Yep.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, it says Range Rover Evoque convertible trim, 52.1.
2017. Only 41,000 miles.
2019.
Oh, really? Brand new.
If they made more than 17 of those things, that's too many.
Brand new, 52, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. That was sticker. Or maybe.
That's MSRP.
Oh. I wonder if they lowered it.
That's the SE Dynamic, and they have the HSE Dynamic, which is 57.8.
Just out of curiosity, what does the hardtop go for?
Because I remember us talking about the hardtop going, that's a $50,000 car, and going, that doesn't look like a $50,000 car. So I'd be curious, because usually the ragtops are, you could add 10 grand, right?
Hardtop is 42.6.
I had no idea the Evoque started that much, and we drove them and talked about them. I just didn't, you're right, I would have thought it was $50,000.
Well, I remember us complaining. I remember us going, that's too much for that miniature little car. And I thought we're saying 50 something.
Yeah.
But either way,
well,
I'll refine my marks and say it's lower than I thought. But that is the least $50,000 can buy you is that car.
Yeah. Well, get the Defender. I think the Defender starts in that range. You get one nicely set up for about 60 grand.
And I got to tell you, it is the number one weapon of choice of everyone around here and all the realtors and all the Hollywood people because the interior is so stellar. At least there used to be a chasm between their interior and other car manufacturers. I feel like, as we know, Infiniti's got the diamond stitching. Like, everyone stepped up their game. But it used to be a big chasm between their interior and their competitors' interiors.
Yeah.
Like even Mercedes, BMW, like, leather, fine, you know, but not all the piping and the diamond and the burl walnut and all that shit.
Right.
And so they would sell those cars all the time because the Beverly Hills housewives didn't care about off-road capability or anything. They just climb into the car And they'd go, ooh, there's an adjuster on the armrest that does the lumbar or whatever. And they'd look at all the piping and the diamond stitching.
Yeah,
and
it looks good. It feels good, like good material.
Different color threads and the diamond and the seat and stuff. And they'd go, oh, I like this one.
Yeah.
Because you're in it.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks. You're right. It looks good, and the quality of materials looks good. I think the Defender is going to be interesting because they needed to fit that build. They needed to be the most comfortable on road, off roader, and they do it with full independent suspension, and they do it with an optional air ride, and they, you know, they kind of did it the way. Which is funny because I was talking to Alistair going, "Oh, but yeah, but $60,000. It seems like that's going to be the go-to one," and I said it. Although that must be way more than the Jeeps. He's like, no, pretty much a loaded Rubicon is about $60,000.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, all right, well, Defender should be interesting.
All right, let me hit Avery Dennison. Back in the day, the great Henry Ford once said, you can have your car in any color as long as it's black. Good thing times have changed, and now you can have any color, finish, texture you want with Avery Dennison Supreme Wrapping Film. Get a car, you want to change the look on it, but you don't want to commit to, you know, putting it in primer and scuffing it and taking it down to the bare metal. Visit AveryDennison.com/color. Try out their car wrap visualizer so you can see what your car looks like before you commit to it and see how it can make your car stand out. AveryDennison.com/color. All right, let's see. Am I performing tonight?
Tonight in Salt Lake City, the early show is, still has a couple tickets available.
Late show sold out, and also you could go to the matinee, Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So I think we have some tickets to the early shows, and then the Reasonable Doubt matinee at 4 o'clock. Me and Mark Garagos will be up on stage together. And then you got Lafayette, Louisiana, the Cajun Dome, Saturday, October 24th, and they're having pods there. So you can, like, do it outside, play it safe, be in the pod, but you don't have to sit in your car. What do you got, Motorator?
Sounds like a neat idea, by the way. It seems like a neat idea. On to new projects after the M3, so just follow me at Motorator and keep up to date on all that stuff.
So, till next time, Adam Kroll for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Guys, let me tell you about Geico. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? You're waiting for your dog to make you breakfast in bed? Well, that's not going to happen. But saving money can. There's never been a better time now to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com for more information. That's geico.com.
Save big money on pressure-treated lumber for your outdoor project at Menards. Menards has the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber, decking, and fencing. All easy to load in our drive-thru lumber yard. Choose from our huge inventory and build your project to last. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our fence and deck design programs in-store or online at Menards.com. Save.